Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. My name is Ronsley. I'm in sunny Dubai, and this is episode number 348 of We Are Podcast. I am with Robbie Bent, and Robbie is the creator of Othership. Othership is an app I use every single day. It actually started as this amazing physical location in Toronto, which then moved to an app, and now they're opening four more locations around the United States. We talk all about using voice, using podcasting to grow business. We talk about how this, what we pay attention to when we're listening to something, is such an important part of how we gather our information in today's world in 2023. So come, let's learn.
You can't find your voice if you don't use it. This is We Are Podcast, formerly called Should I Start a Podcast? A podcast for podcasters who want a podcast that grows their business and brand. How many times can we say podcast in a sentence? Here's your host, Ronsley. He has interviewed more than 1,500 people, has been listened to over 5 million times in 133 countries. He has helped create over 1,100 podcasts for businesses, brands, and personalities. He's been doing this for more than a decade. Get ready to take notes. Enjoy the show.
Robbie Bent, welcome to the show. Thank you for making the time. I know you're super busy, just had a baby and opening new locations everywhere. How does it feel to have so many spinning plates?
Some days exciting, some days fearful, some days angry, a mix. Trying to balance my emotions has been quite challenging for me. I've never been so busy and also needing to be a leader of so many people, plus balance my family life and continuously feeling like I'm not doing excellent at any of the things. I'm not working enough. I'm not a good enough dad. I'm not a good enough partner. Being sad that I'm kind of angry all day and like upset that like things aren't going well. And yeah, but on the flip side, super excited. You know, I've never really built anything before that had this much success and that was as much a part of me. And so putting something out in the world that's helping so many people that I'm proud of is extremely exciting. And some moments, you know, walking with my son and watching him walk for the first time and kind of like teeter over, watching him, how he looks at squirrels and birds in the park when I push him and just stops, is amazing. And so it's just, life is very full, but mostly with amazing feelings of like love and contentment and meaning.
I love your honesty and I love the way you share things. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation. And I also wanted to tell you that before I left, I'm in LA today, I just arrived here, but a couple of days ago, I went to an ice bath and sauna place in Brisbane. And I finished my ice bath and I came into the sauna and the sauna was full. And there's this one guy that looked at me and went, dude, you're a weapon. How long were you in the ice bath for? And then everyone was like, oh yeah, I was looking at him. He was looking at his nails. I was like, why were you all staring at me? I'm like, because you were not there. You were somewhere else. Your body was inside. I'm like, yeah, because I was listening to Othership. And I was doing my breath work. And I have to say, Othership, what you've built is absolutely phenomenal and must be easily one of the things that can get someone like you who was feeling overwhelmed like myself and having all these spinning plates to come out a different person through it. Do you feel that? Do you see that? Do you see the effects of what you've created?
I think for me, a good reminder when things are difficult. And an example today, I found out we're delayed at one of our spaces 2 months just before this call, you know, so I kind of showed up 2 minutes late, a little bit frazzled, dealing with, okay, we now have to change our guide training. Our budget is off. This might impact our bank loans. You know, it's going to impact our PR. All the work we've done the last 3 months now has to be delayed and recalibrated. And it's like, oh fuck, you know, whose fault is this? Who's accountable? And the reality is it doesn't matter, you know? And so I go from those moments of anger is coming up. That's a natural one for me, to when I'm scared to feel more powerful is to go to anger and like, oh, I need to, you know, but it doesn't matter. Like, that's just the reality and we have to move forward. And so tonight at 9 p.m., I'll actually go into our space and we're having a night. We have 20 new guides that we've onboarded. One of the most amazing things recently was when we first hired. It was, you know, whoever wants to be a guide, and a guide in our space is somebody who creates the performance, the class, towel waves, breath work, a whole bunch of different items happening in the sauna. So you can think of this as like the shepherd, the instructor. And, you know, when we first were hiring, nobody. It was just like, hey, anyone who's interested, please come. If you've got no experience, you know, we'll train you. And this time 75 people applied for the role, and we're super excited. Like, wow, I can't wait to do this. Amazing that you're teaching us to do this. And my co-founders put together a massive, almost like a yoga certification guide training program. And so, you know, tonight I'm going in, it's 20 new guides who've just started. They're all super excited. They prepared an auditions for the classes that they want to run, and we're teaching them how to guide an ice bath. And so, you know, from, wow, I feel really stressed, is this stuff going to work? This was really bad news. Taking that into, no, okay, I'm about to feel great, and like use the product. And so when things are tough, using the product generally helps.
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. I mean, I've been ice bathing for a while, but ice bathing with breath work is on a new level. You literally come out another person. Like, I've never come out the same person as I've gone in. And I have to thank you for that, because I think about you every day and I use Anachip, and it's such a great product. So let's talk about that. How did it come about, and what's the growth been like for the Anachip app in particular? Because it's reaching more people than your physical space can.
My wife and I moved back to Toronto, and we're really looking for a new community. Prior to living in Toronto, I struggled with drugs and alcohol. And so as a result, we moved back here. I'd been sober for 4 years, and we'd been living in San Francisco and Berlin, and just thought like, oh, I'm going to get sucked into bad habits again. And we decided to build an ice bath in our backyard with a few friends. It's just a way to cultivate like a strong, you know, healthy community. Super easy, residential street in a backyard. You would open the gate and there was an ice bath anyone could use. It was free. And every night we would host events. So it would be, you know, campfire, ice bath. Wow. And we had to learn how to guide people through. So there were many people that had never tried something like this before. This was 4 or 5 years ago. And we started experimenting with different sound healing modalities, breathing practices, visualizations, a number of techniques you'd maybe see in group therapy. And it just became so popular. You know, there was a WhatsApp group of 500 people, and people just coming every night, hanging out. People were dating, becoming friends. And then when winter came along, it was too cold outside in Toronto, Canada, where I'm from. And so we converted our garage. We had a kind of this empty garage woodworking space that we converted into a sauna, ice bath, and a back-end booking platform. And that grew organically to over 1,000 people coming every night. And so myself and my four partners would each work two nights-ish a week, folding the towels, cleaning the space, guiding people through, just practicing, honing our craft. And through that practice, we learned that, wow, you can really do classes in these modalities. So you can have a sauna in the dark with an anger release. You can do breath work together as a couple in the ice bath where you're gazing into each other's eyes and then give each other a hug. You know, you can do a gratitude practice that you might usually do on Headspace in the sauna together while all smelling essential oils and seeing what memories are triggered. And so we just played around for, you know, almost 2 years throughout COVID with just different styles of programming, and learned that this was a really awesome way for people to do emotional work in the sauna and ice bath. And so at that point, we realized there was a business here, at least demand. And so we self-funded the first Anachip space. We signed a lease. You know, COVID was going on. Canada was quite intense about the restrictions. And we just thought that there was going to be a lot of demand for a business that was focused on, you know, mental health, community, pushing yourself, resilience, health and wellness. And so we signed the lease, took the risk. And I remember people were saying, oh, you're crazy. This will never work. People will never group sauna again. And then we signed the lease and built the first version, mostly as something that we really wanted for ourselves, with the idea that, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, you could hang out at night in a social aspect without alcohol, with performers, musicians, live shows. And then throughout the day, there would be classes. And the classes are mixed. We have 25 different sessions at different classes, and they follow. Some are, you know, more down-regulating, meditative, sound bath style. Some are more up-regulating, you know, dunking your head in the ice bath, vocalizations. They feel more akin to a workout, and some are similar to group therapy with deep sharing. And that all came from just, you know, testing, talking to customers. Someone would come in and say, oh, I'm really struggling with a breakup. And we would make a class for breakup. And then the app was something that during COVID, we couldn't offer the space. We allow people to come to the garage in their own social bubbles. And people were really scared. So we just started doing Zoom breathwork sessions for free. And the Zoom breathworks became very successful. So we'd put the recordings on YouTube. And then people really liked the YouTube. So we did an online course. And the online course went really well. And people were saying, oh, I'm using this every day. So we looked into it and we built an app and launched the app in parallel. It's just a way to, you know, we create every single session on the app is created internally, myself, my co-founders, and, you know, the music's selected, it's mixed and mastered, the script is written, and they're just things that we're personally interested in. And so it was an outlet for us for creativity. And each one is almost like a little work of art based on something a customer's asked for, something we're personally interested in. And so it was really a huge labor of love and fun to put the app out into the world.
And the reason I'm obviously having you on the show is like you've done so much of work creating Audible series for people to actually change their state of mind, and actually not only mind, change their state in general. And I am a huge fan of using your voice to communicate and be creative and put your message out there. Let's talk about how you are using podcasts in Othership, because you're doing a great job with advertising your work on other podcasts. How did you start with that? What is that like? How's it going? How do you structure the offering? Can you give us a breakdown on that?
Yeah, so there was an amazing article in the first round review from Tom Griffin at Levels. And they were one of the brands I've seen most successfully use the podcast strategy. I think they run 200 podcasts in 6 months, something like that. And it's just a very effective way to tell a long form story. And so if you're a founder of a business, what makes your business unique is your story, you know, and exactly like we created this to solve our own need because we're so passionate about it. And so podcast is a much better form. It was very hard, what we found with Othership, to tell the story on Instagram. So what happens is people see short bites and it's like, oh, it's a really cool space to go. It's kind of like Soho House. Some people are like, oh, that's really cool. It's kind of like an Equinox. Some see it and say it's a sauna and ice bath. It's a recovery center. And so I might ask 5 people who've seen our Instagram what they think our business is, and they all have a different idea of what it actually is, because there is no such thing in the history of the world as an emotional regulation class taking place in a sauna and ice bath. And so one, sauna and ice bath classes are brand new in the first place. Like people have been to bathhouses for 2 hours, but the idea of combining those into a class was new. And then a lot of the emotional regulation techniques we're using, you know, turning off the lights in the sauna, bringing to mind a moment of anger, screaming it out while a gong is playing, like that is completely new. And so how do you even explain that? And so podcasts were a much more effective medium because I can sit and talk with you about, okay, this started as a community-driven thing around health. It then became a community-driven thing around like mental health. And then we started implementing a bunch of techniques from therapy. Oh, also there's like a nighttime social for people who aren't drinking. So there's just, it became a medium. There's a really good maxim from a famous advertiser, David Ogilvy, like probably the most famous of all time. And it's like, tell, don't sell. And funny enough, some of the most successful ads of all time are like very long form content explaining what you are doing. And so when someone hears that, like, wow, you know what? Their team spent they went to 70 bathhouses worldwide to come up with this concept. Wow, they developed a 100-hour teacher training program. They are so detailed, even the smell in the space we created from scratch by combining 4 different cedarwood essential oils. The space itself, we tested 40 tiles so that you're meant to go through the space with no sandals because it's a very kinesthetic experience. The space is, the lighting palette was designed to create safety because people are in your bathing suit. And so I just have found in this medium when I can tell those stories, people are like, wow, so much care has went into the design of this. It doesn't just happen by accident. Every little detail has been thought through and tested with thousands and thousands of customers. And so there's no way to really tell a long form story without podcasting. So one was getting out the long form story I thought was like very powerful. And then 2 is how do you actually do that? And that Levels article I mentioned was something I read. I reached out to them and said like, hey, how'd you get on all these podcasts? And then just copied that. And so very aggressively made lists of 100, 200, 300, 400 podcasters and asked for warm intros to all of them. And so we never actually used an agency and we never paid for any of our podcasts outside of one. I think we were on 80 or 85. And the idea was really telling a story that was compelling and solving a problem and then getting a warm intro to get on the podcaster's radar. And so that was quite successful for us. And it was a great way to talk about both the app and the physical space.
So how do you see people that come into your space or come into Othership that have come through a podcast? Because you're obviously keeping doubling down on the podcast idea. Is there a correlation to what is happening in the business as a result of you going on podcasts?
So the podcasts are generally more, I think you really need a digital product to drive, to make it worthwhile, something that can be purchased then and there. So the issue with podcasts for physical space is that most people can't go. So like, oh, that's a cool story. I hear about it, but it's not the best focus unless you're focused on like Toronto-based podcasts. So you need some type of digital process that you can sell to make it worthwhile. And so for us, we have an app that's done quite well. And the really good thing about the app is, you know, anybody can use it. So it's a fantastic platform to talk about. But in addition, it's kind of free marketing for the physical space. So we have this app that we can sell through the podcast, but then people can hear about the space as well. And for most brick and mortar spaces, it's kind of free advertising in that way.
Hey, this is Heather Roberts, host of Boundaries, Business, and Boobs. I love making my podcast, and that's primarily because Bronzly has helped me avoid some of the basic mistakes that would have cost me time and money and a whole bunch of energy. Bronzly has compiled a whole list of these mistakes and how you can avoid them, which is really a steal. You can download your copy where I got mine at mistakes.wearepodcast.com. That is mistakes.wearepodcast.com. We are a podcast. You can't find your voice if you don't use it.
At the start of this conversation, you spoke about control. You spoke about how we feel like we are losing control, especially when we plan something and it doesn't turn out well. And we have all these different emotions that come up when it doesn't go according to plan. How, as business owners, as creatives, I mean, I would consider yourself a creative just like myself, that's learning to build a business around the creation. I mean, I'm not a business person trying to be creative. I'm a creative becoming a business person so that I can sustain my creation. What do you think? I mean, because if your success, what do you see if you had to look back at the things that made your creation sustainable with the business activity that you did?
You just really have to care about the product you're building. And so for me, I use it every day. You know, I'm either doing breath work or in the physical space. This was never meant to be a business. I think building a business over a 3-year time horizon is almost impossible. If you said, hey, I have to start this now and be successful in 3 years, there's so much competition. If you say, hey, I'm doing this because it is play for me and I enjoy it and what I create, I want people to use. Okay, it doesn't matter to me if it's successful in 3 years or 5 years, 7 years or 10 years. This is the thing I want to be doing. And so on a Friday night, if I'm making a breath work or thinking about an ecstatic dance or looking at the 5th or 50th or 500th design of the new New York studio, that's what I want to be doing. Yeah. And so there's one is like the work is play in a lot of ways because you're creating. And there's a lot of shit also, you know, like nobody wants to be signing leases and reviewing 150 page lease documents over and over, or doing continued performance reviews or negotiating with vendors or doing, you know, there's stuff that's not fun. And so that's been the overwhelming part is as we grow, when you start, it's like so fertile and it's just all ideas and like MVPs and you're seeing people's faces and it's so exciting. And as you grow, the problems really grow as well. And there's enough in there that I'm driven to do. And is it play? And then, you know, can you experience it yourself? So for me, as I mentioned, I'm going tonight. If I get too stuck in the business, which happens if we're raising money, you know, when we're in builds, when we're launching, it's quite intense. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go in the space. I'm going to meet someone new there. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to do one of the classes and be like, wow, I can't, you know, look around and maybe two or three people are crying. And it's like, I can't believe we're having that kind of impact. So it's a mix. It's super hard. It's super fun. Some days are great. Some days are not. I've heard this quote from Mark Andreessen that entrepreneurship is either euphoria or terror, but never in between. So it just, you know, depends on the day. Like there was a day when I thought we were going to run out of money 6 months ago and I was, oh my God, it's never going to work. We signed this lease in New York. I'm going to lose my house. It's just going to fail. And that was a nightmare and I woke up sweating and like, that's not true. And that's not what's going to happen. But it was, you know, there's just these moments of euphoria and moments of fear when building anything.
That's interesting you say all that because, you know, in the spirit of actually, it's because you're so vulnerable that I'm going to be so vulnerable. Last night, I mean, it's a 13 and a half hour flight from Australia to LA. and I was in business class feeling horrible amongst the elite people, like, you know, sitting there in comfort, feeling really down. And then I started beating myself up about the fact that my life is just so good. Why am I in this mood? And one breathwork session fixed that. And you're having more than just a small impact. I want to say that. I feel like a lot of us, I mean, you more than someone like myself, because of what you've created and how many people are getting a benefit straight after, like even a 3 or 4 minute breathwork session, is just crazy, to the point that even if I don't have my phone on me and I feel a little bit down, I can create my own breathwork to get out of that, or at least be in a better space than in my head. You mentioned work being play. And for a lot of us creative entrepreneurs, work is play. But when things get hard and the business side comes around, when we could be a great breathwork person, a great podcaster, a great lawyer, or a great mechanic, but we still don't know about recruitment. We still don't know about culture. We're still learning about operations. We're still learning about money raising. There's so many different aspects to business. What's the secret to staying in that space for long enough that you can overcome it?
I think asking for help and really understanding people who've come before you. So, you know, one example is in our business model is quite similar to fitness. And so I really made a point to try to get in touch with the founders of SoulCycle and ask them how they launched, how would they open a new city, how they would do leases. I did the same with Rumble and other at Equinox, and, you know, would search for people on LinkedIn, see if I could pay them $500 for an hour and just try to ask them questions about what it was like and what the parallels are. Another way is just to do that with business. There's a podcast I listen to called Founders, and it's a character, his name is David Senra, and he reads biographies, like amazing biographies, every week on Founders, and then quickly summarizes the gems from the biography in like a 45-minute, 1-hour soundbite. And so I'll listen to those frequently and see, you know, how does Steve Jobs think about these problems? How do founder of Four Seasons, the founder of Ritz-Carlton, the founder of In-N-Out, the founder of Trader Joe's, all other brick and mortar businesses, how did they start their businesses? What are some of the similar learnings? And so I think the point is, whether you're doing it with podcasts that are free and available to anyone, or whether, you know, you're doing it with a network that you have or get. And I started with no network in health and fitness and just was, you know, grinding out, reaching out to people on LinkedIn, reaching out for warm intros. I think that the main point is, like, look for help, ask for help. And all those things you mentioned, of course, you don't know how to do them. And so you need to find somebody who does. And generally in business, something to remember is, like, your product is unique. So nobody else is offering sauna and ice bath based emotional wellness classes, but a million people have done recruiting and fundraising, you know, built financial segments, built operations teams. That stuff is all the same, and there's best practices for it. So you don't need to reinvent the wheel. The only place you need to reinvent the wheel is your specific product.
Such a huge point. I did not even think that you would say asking for help, because it's one of the things that I'm not necessarily good at, and I feel like I'm learning a little bit to ask. Do you feel like in general entrepreneurs are not good at asking for help?
It depends. It's very situation specific. But, like, for example, one of Steve Jobs' greatest entrepreneur of all time, main things was he would ask for help. And there's a story of him at 12 years old calling Bill Hewlett, the founder of Hewlett Packard, and saying, like, hey, I can't get this computer to work. What should I do? And he got his first internship by just calling him up. So, which I thought was like a funny story to remember, of if even the greatest entrepreneur of all time is asking for help, you can too. Yeah. And in my first business, I never asked for help. I was 24. I raised a large amount of funding. We built a wireless, kind of like a Google Fi competitor. So a SIM card for your phone where you could travel globally and not pay roaming. And I thought I could just do it myself. I thought, I'm smart. I can figure it out. I'm smart. I can figure it out. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to work so hard. And the company ended up failing after 4 years. It was very, very difficult for me. I had to fire 100 people. At the time, I thought, like, my life is over. And, you know, what have I learned? I've wasted my whole career. And the reality is, what I learned from this is that, you know, instantly you can ask for help. And so an example is, you know, however long it takes me to figure out something, if I just talk to the best person in the world at that thing for 30 minutes, I could have the answer for the most part. And so now I'm very, you know, when we're going to figure out a billing platform to use, we're going to figure out a city to launch in. It's just, who's the best real estate broker? Who are the best 3 real estate brokers in the US that I should talk to get some feedback? And a lot of times, problems that have been solved before can be solved quite quickly. The first thing I'll do when a new problem comes is, like, who will know the answer to this? And how do I find in my, and this is the power of having a big network. You know, if you have a big audience on Twitter and a podcast, You know, if you're someone like Tim Ferriss, you can just ask, hey, what's the best way to improve my sleep? Bam, you're going to get a ton of answers, you know? And so that's the value of having an audience or a network, is you can ask and get responses quickly, much more quickly than like doing it yourself a lot of times. Now, counterpoint to that is, for certain things, you're just going to get advice that is not super relevant to you. And so generalized advice should actually be avoided. And so in my case, an example might be, oh, how should we grow Othership across the US? Nobody knows. You know, for me, it's like, how fast do I want to grow? How much do I want to work? What cities are important to me? What's my customer like? So if I listened to four people, I'll get four different answers. And so I think there's certain things where advice is helpful to a degree, but then you have to make the decision. And so asking for help at first when I'm trying to solve a problem gives me sort of the lay of the land, but then making the decision yourself is quite important as well.
Yeah. So taking responsibility over the decisions you're making, despite the advice you're getting from different places. And when you ask for help, is ultimately down to you, the responsibility of executing.
Yeah. And like sometimes you ask for help and somebody knows something specific and wow, that's really good advice and I can use it instantly. Sometimes like we were looking at running paid ads on Instagram and looking at working with an agency. And I talked to, you know, 11 people about, hey, should we run Instagram ads for our app? And each agency, I got a different response, you know, for what we should do, and like completely different. Some like, you have to do ads. It's the only way you're going to scale your business. You should focus immediately on this and spend as much money as you can. And others who are like, there's no way you're going to make ads work. You should focus on SEO, like completely different, you know? And so that's a case where like, oh, okay, well, what's the decision? How do I make it? Because you might have smart people who just have different opinions. So asking for help is not always so easy. Some things are easy and some things aren't.
Totally. Well, I want to respect your time and land on this note, because I think it is important for us as business owners to put our message out there. And I feel like with a lot of us, we might be the world's best kept secret. I mean, in different ways, right? How would you recommend today in 2023, business owners, founders, get themselves out there more?
You know, funny, because we just talked about giving advice. And so the advice I give for one out of 10 might be good. And for the other nine, it's probably not effective. So I think for me is, it's like, where are your customers? Who are your customers? And how can you find them? And so the first thing is, you know, can you find 100 customers who love what you do? And can you ensure that what you're building is exactly what they want? Mm. And before I tried to get my message out there, I would ensure my message is right. And so an example of how we did that is, you know, an ice bath in a backyard, going out around the neighborhood, telling people we were offering, you know, free events, looking at who came back 10 times, who came back 20 times. Okay, there's 50 people who've been back 20 times. How do they describe this? Oh, I feel alive. Oh, I feel community and connection. Oh, I feel committed to doing this. I feel awe. We took all that language, and that is how we then describe our product. And so once you have a product that you know is working, core customer, a way they describe that language, you can then start to think about, how do we advertise at greater scale?
And Othership, where does that name come from? Is it hard to explain because the name is Othership? It's not what it says on the tin. Is that why it's hard to like explain to other people when they see Othership?
No, I think it's just the experience needs to be felt. And so it's very difficult to see and understand what a kinesthetic experience is, the same way in which people take psychedelic medicines. Once they feel them, oh yeah, I know what that is. But it's hard to explain to somebody who's never done an emotional wellness class with that kind of change in state in the body. But once you've done it, the name itself is very clear. So the idea is that we are all on a journey together on the Othership. And this word other is often, we've kind of reclaiming that we're not one or us, it's all other, and we're all on this ship together. And the really nice thing about it is, you know, it also means partnership, mentorship, apprenticeship, allyship, relationship, companionship. It's kind of like whatever you choose to be working on in life. And because we call it space for transformation, it's that we're all on a journey together on this ship, working on whatever it is we need to work on. So it's just an invitation to join a community, to work on yourself, and, you know, be part of the Othership.
I love it. I love it for so many different reasons. I'm a computer scientist by trade, and with artificial intelligence taking over everything, really, I feel the only way for us as a species to not be extinct is for us to collaborate and be as one. And if we don't start to learn to do that quick, we're obviously not going to be the most intelligent species on the planet anymore. But if the most intelligent species on the planet, who were us, did a lot of things to ecosystems because we were the most intelligent, artificial intelligence is going to come along and do the same to us. And I feel that the only way for us to change is to get on board the other ship and have the same sort of values and belief systems that you've inculcated and built a beautiful business around. Robbie, this is amazing. Thank you so much for the wisdom and the vulnerability, because usually it's me being vulnerable and then the guest opens up. You flip this whole thing over on me for my first question. So thank you for everything. Thank you for Othership. I'm a huge fan.
Thanks, Ransley. Appreciate you making time for me.
Thanks, brother. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for listening. Listen to the back catalog of over 300 episodes by going to wearepodcast.com. If you're looking for something specific, let the We Are Podcast team point you in the right direction. Send us an email on podcast@wearepodcast.com. Also, if you know a business owner who has a podcast, ask them to listen. Share an episode with them. The conversations here are going to save them lots of trial, error, time, and money. Until next week, much love.